Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 12th and final round.
Right hand, Golovkin steps in and down he goes again. Unbelievable!
Mayweather makes him pay. What a rookie mistake.
A sensational left hook by De La Hoya.
It's facts. I'm the best. You know what I mean? Sometimes I don't want to believe it myself, but it's the truth. I'm the best.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
From Southern California, this is the Last Round Podcast.
46 episodes of the Last Round Podcast, Mike. And you have a new nickname now. I know I didn't tell you before the show, but your name is Michael the Crusher Shepherd. In honor of Kovalev's win this past weekend. So I hope you like it because it's not going away.
I've lost the moniker of the franchise.
This week, yes. Maybe it'll be back. That name will be back next week. But, you know, sometimes we got to change it up. We got to keep it entertaining for the listeners.
I drink less than Kovalev.
I don't know. That's a fight I want to see. People want to see all these fights inside the ring. You know, somebody's got to have a drink off with Crusher.
That'd be good. An Englishman and a Russian and a vodka.
If you're putting it out there, then, you know, I think eventually it's going to get to Kovalev's team and like, hey, you know, maybe this guy's serious. So, once again, guys, thanks for listening to episode 46 of The Last Round. I'm Danny Z. Across from me, Mike, the franchise Shepherd. See, now I switched it. So that doesn't matter. Maybe I can switch it up on you. But we had a pretty important weekend of fights, especially like I mentioned with Sergey Kovalev because of the whole Canelo situation, which he likely will fight in November. I mean, that seems like it's going to happen. But let's just jump into that fight. This past Saturday, the 24th of August, from the, is it Tractor or Tractor?
Tractor.
Tractor. Tractor Sports Palace in Chelyabinsk, Russia on ESPN Plus. So over here in Southern California, it was on at what? Like 1?
Yeah, like mid-afternoon, yeah.
Like mid-afternoon, just after the afternoon or something like that. Sergey Crusher Kovalev gets the 11th round TKO stoppage over Anthony Yard to retain his WBO light heavyweight title. And Kovalev was in a bit of trouble. I believe in the 8th round, that fight could have been stopped if there was a couple more seconds left. What do you think?
Yeah, I thought Kovalev, you know, started well for the first 6 rounds. He kind of just old-manned him, you know, the experience showed. Just kept him on the outside, just didn't let Yard really kind of get set. And then in the 7th, you could see that Yard and, you know, Tunde Ajayi decided to kind of go for it. He started going to the body constantly in the 7th. And then in the 8th, he kind of, I think Tunde had told him, you know, go for it, try and take the chance, and kind of rocked him a few bits. And like you say, you know, like in the last 10 seconds, Kovalev kind of looked out on his feet. He's up kind of using the ropes to kind of take the shots. And then even Buddy McGirt told him, you know, if you don't show something for me in the next round, in the 9th round, I'm going to stop it.
I thought that was very telling.
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, Buddy McGirt's been in the corner of, you know, the tragedy with them.
Do you think that, I'm glad you brought that up. Do you think that Buddy McGirt at that moment when he was telling Kovalev, if you don't show me something, I'm going to stop it, do you think he thought about Dadashev, who, you know, unfortunately passed away within the last month or so, and he was trained by Buddy McGirt? Even though Buddy McGirt did stop the fight, you know, he has still unfortunately passed away. Do you think that ran through Buddy McGirt's mind, even though, you know, Kovalev wasn't, he was taking punishment, but it wasn't as detrimental?
I think so. I think when you have something as tragic as that happened to you, I think it can't not go through your mind.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I thought, because I caught the fight, and as I mentioned to you before we came on air, if Yard had a couple more seconds, I think that fight could have been stopped. What do you think? I mean, in Russia, do you think they still would let it keep going? Or
I think if there was another 10, 20 seconds and Yard had just piled on him and there was still no reply coming from Kovalev, because he kind of just backed up on the ropes and was kind of trying to ride the punches by, you know, leaning back on the ropes at one point, I think the referee probably would have jumped in. I mean, I'm sure they gave him the benefit of the doubt because he was...
In Russia.
In Russia, he was the number one fighter. He was the champion. And in the previous 6 rounds, he was the dominant force going in. So I think, you know, being at that, there was only a few seconds left, they probably gave him that chance.
I was really surprised to hear that Yard said that he did not spar for this fight. Do you think that's like true? Do you think he just said that just to kind of, you know, add to the fight? I mean, he said he didn't spar.
I don't think he spars in that Tunde Ajayi System 9 thing that he keeps going on about. Supposedly he says that, you know, doing, you know, pad work and, you know, hitting back on the pad work and a lot of movement, that's their way of sparring. Mm-hmm. But to me, I think it showed, you know, he's had he'd had 18 professional fights and only 12 amateur fights.
Right.
Kovalev had more world champion fights than he'd had professional fights.
Yeah, that's insane.
And it showed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, as we touched on, Yard almost had him in the eighth. But what ultimately won it for Kovalev was his overall experience.
That's why I think it was a stupid idea that he turned down a $1 million payday to step aside, let him fight Canelo when he could have gone away, would still have been the mandatory champion, so he would have got his shot further down the line, and he could have had experience. He could have had 1, 2, 3 more fights and gained that experience.
Do you think he regrets it now?
In hindsight, I'm sure he did, because he would have been a double payday. He would have had a payday to step aside, had 2 or 3 more fights, then have had a world championship payday as well.
I think we had touched on that before, that why he didn't just take it, because he could have had a plan like that. He could have got paid, still had maybe 1 or 2 in the meantime, and still got a shot at the title to whoever has it, if it's Kovalev or somebody else. But I kind of admired that he's like, no, I want to fight the guy. I want the title. And I was like, okay, well, you know, but he has to, you know, I was like, okay, well, if he doesn't win, then he, you know, is this like a waste?
It seems it to me. I think, you know, now he's back at square one, and I think a lot of people, I don't know whether Tunde Ajayi came to the forefront before the fight, pushing to get the fight, and because now it seems like a lot more people are blaming Tunde Ajayi and his, you know, System 9,
yeah,
than are actually blaming Anthony Yard. So I don't know whether he came to the forefront talking a lot of smack because he's kind of taken the brunt away from Anthony Yard.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that was an idea he had.
Do you think if Yard had you know, like you mentioned, everybody's been criticizing his team,
mm-hmm,
and that he needs a better trainer, he needs to be, you know, better camp preparation and all that stuff. If he had a better trainer, a more experienced trainer, you know, like Abel Sanchez, Freddie Roach, you know, for example, those names, and, you know, other people around his team, would he have won?
I think he still would have lacked experience.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think I was surprised that it took him 7 rounds to go to the body. I think maybe if he'd have had someone with a better game plan like Robert Garcia,
yeah,
you know, maybe even if he'd have had Buddy McGirt instead of, you know, him being in the opposite corner, he would have had a better chance of winning, because he could have just, you know, gone to the body from, you know, round one, which I'm sure Canelo will do if they fight in November.
I thought, and, you know, especially with when Anthony Yard had his best success in that 8th round, it was like you said, it was from body shots. And I'm sure Canelo obviously was watching. 100% he was watching that fight. And I'm sure he was like, that's exactly why I want to fight this guy.
Yeah.
Because Canelo is probably arguably, if not the best, one of the best body punchers in the game right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people are saying, like, oh, he's crazy for wanting to go up to 175. He's like, he's way too small for that and stuff. And I still think it's a huge risk. And people are saying like, Canelo's going to, like, stop Kovalev, it's going to be easy work, he's going to go to the body and stuff, which they could be right. I'm not saying I disagree with that, but Kovalev is still dangerous. I think he's still dangerous, and it's not picking Canelo. Like, I can't pick Canelo right now with 100% confidence.
One thing that came to mind is when I was listening to it, listening to the fight, was Andre Ward said that one thing that surprised him about when he fought Kovalev was how easy he actually was to move. He said that he wasn't actually physically that strong. He said he punched hard, but to move him around the ring and manhandle him, Andre Ward said that he was actually surprisingly quite easy.
But you don't think Andre Ward's just talking smack, talking shit?
I don't think Andre Ward would do that, Danny.
Yeah, right. I mean, he has a good like mind for the sport, obviously. But like, I don't know, Ward and Kovalev, those two fights, they were going at it. Like,
come on, Dre wouldn't do that.
Yeah, right. I don't know. Take it with a grain of salt when he's talking about an opponent that, you know.
I mean,
didn't Kovalev call him, like some type of some type of racist word or something during the lead up. Remember that?
Well, he's had beef with both of them because all the way through the fight, he was kind of talking smack on Andre on Yard and then Yard's trainer because, you know, before the fight, everyone was, when they were trying to get the fight,
yeah,
they were playing down Andre Ward saying, you know, Yard's technically a better boxer than Andre Ward is, so he'll school Kovalev. And it looks like, you know, Andre Ward was kind of still a bit hurt by that because,
well, yeah,
he was talking a lot of smack the whole time about them, so.
That's probably why. I mean, whatever, you know.
But I'm sure Golden Boy were rubbing the hands when Kovalev won.
Oh, yeah. Well, not only would they be rubbing their hands because they're, like, happy, like, okay, we're going to be able to get, yeah, exactly. But, like, also because, like, okay, well, this is the guy who Canelo wanted. Because, mm-hmm. like, what if he would have lost? And they're like, oh, crap, now we got to go negotiate with these other guys. You know, it would, honestly, if Kovalev would have lost, it would have made their job harder.
The fight might have happened, but it wouldn't be the same.
I still don't think it would have happened. Not off a loss. Not off a loss.
No, I mean, like, if Yard had won, I don't think they would have fought Yard.
No, because
he's not a name.
Yeah, because he's not a name. Yeah. Even though he has that title at that moment, he's not a name.
Yeah.
You know, it. I mean, unless Canelo went to, like, the UK to fight Yard, then.
May still in a few seats in London, but, you know, you're not going to get the whole of Russia tuning in like you are with. You know, Kovalev, and was he 2-time light heavyweight world champion?
Hey, now that you mention that place was like sold out and they were going crazy for Kovalev.
Got a big wheel at London and Vegas and stuff outside of saw.
They were going crazy for him in Russia. That place, like when he knocked him down, especially when he stopped him at the end, that place erupted. And I thought it was kind of funny that like his mom, they put Kovalev's mom like in the crowd, but she was like 10 rows back. She wasn't even in the front. She was like in the middle with everybody. I was like, oh, well. In Russia, she can't even get a front row seat to her son's fight.
Not rich enough.
Not rich enough in Russia. Like, no, like the front's reserved.
What did you think of the finish? Knocked out by a jab.
Well, I mean, we've always known that Kovalev has a pretty strong jab.
I think he's just tired. I think he got caught by a jab. It was maybe off balance, and then he was just exhausted. He's just on the floor.
Well, that too, but Kovalev's always had a pretty strong jab.
That's that moment in Big Bear.
Yeah, that's true. But, no, but like, you know, going back to the Andre Ward fight, I know when he knocked down Andre Ward, it was like a straight right. But there was quite a few times where he was snapping his head back with his jab. So, you know, I think, like, going back to what you said, I think Yard was just tired at that moment.
Mm.
And Kovalev's jab is a lot stronger than a lot of other people's jabs. So, like, he got hit and he just went down. He's like, forget this. I'm going down. I'm out.
That's what it seemed to me. I think he took the jab, went down, and then, you know, just carrying that mass, that muscle mass must be tiring, especially when you don't spar.
I didn't know he was promoted by Frank Warren.
Yeah, he's a Frank Warren fighter.
But do you think Frank Warren was looking at him like, all right, this is my Anthony Joshua, especially if he wins?
I think they were trying that, you know, the lines in the camp that they kept shouting. Yeah. And
they should say that.
They kind of talked themselves into the fight, even though he was a mandatory.
Yeah.
You know, talking smack and Andre Ward, Kovalev.
And remember The Rock?
I think it kind of backfired.
Remember The Rock actually, like, put something out on social media about this fight? Because Yard said that he would do, like, his pose if he won. And
with
then,
the
like,
belt in the corner.
And then, like, I think the day of or the day before the fight, like, The Rock said, like, pretty much, like, oh, I'll be watching, like, you know, if you win. He shared it again. And I think even on the ESPN broadcast over here in the United States, they said that, oh, you know, if Yard wins, you know, everybody stay tuned because he's going to do a post-fight celebration. They're pretty much saying he's going to do The Rock's pose like he did in WWE. Well, he didn't win.
Yeah.
But honestly, though, like, for Yard, though, if he would have won, you know, The Rock would have put that all over his channels, and that only helps Yard, and, you know, somebody like Frank Warren would have been like, hell yeah, that's money, because he's, like, giving him a profile.
Looking back on it,
he lost.
Kind of like looking back on it now, you know, a lot of people were talking on Twitter like, oh, you know, Yard's going to do it. He's going to knock him out. Kovalev's burned. But
I think it was just a hype, especially because Canelo's name was attached to all this. So a lot more people who wouldn't have paid attention to this fight were paying attention to this fight because they heard that Canelo's name was being mentioned around this fight.
It's just, there's no logic behind it, was there?
18, no, there's not.
Beating 18 bin men.
Right.
12 people as amateur. You just start thinking to yourself, like, there's nothing behind it. Doesn't spar.
Yeah. I think it's strange. Isn't he, what is he, English?
He's English, yeah.
Well, you get to speak on that. That's your people. Why did you like that?
I just did.
Why is he like that?
I think he'd cashed out.
He's cashed out?
And he could have done a double cash out if he'd have taken the step aside money.
I bet you he regrets it now.
Yeah, definitely.
But it was only $1 million. I thought it was more. I thought it was like.
Well, I'd have taken it, Danny.
Well, yeah, of course you would have taken it. Then we could have went to had some better stuff. But anyways, like we said, Kovalev retains his WBO light heavyweight title. And he did he kind of call out Canelo after? Or did he just kind of mention his name like, oh yeah, you know, if Canelo's next, that's cool.
He's kind of respectful.
Yeah, it wasn't really like a call out. But like you said, like we talked about just before we came on air, it seems like it's likely that it's going to happen. And I told you that I think it'll be announced in the next week or two, 2 weeks maybe. And before the yard fight actually proceeded, what was the reports that it was like a 3-fight deal with DAZN, Canelo, some warm-up fight, and then Bivol?
Yeah.
So I'm assuming...
That was the alleged offer the first time.
I think that's a great that's a great way to go out. What if he wins all three of them?
He beats Canelo, then you'll have, what, Canelo rematch?
He would rematch? I'm sure there's going to be a rematch clause.
Yeah, it'll be in the contract to own it.
Oh, yeah.
But it'd be a double payday. It'd be a nice way to retire.
Well, that's why Maidana retired against Mayweather. He fought him back-to-back. He bought him in May and September. And he was like, after this, I'm done. I'm out. He's never came back.
He's living his best life now.
He is. He is. He moved to Argentina.
The heavyweight.
What? And the American dollar to Argentina's currency is like what? I don't know.
Crazy.
He's living like a billionaire over there. So
got dollars on dollars on dollars.
Literally, he fought Mayweather twice in the span of like 4 months. And he's like, all right, I'm out. He tapped out after that. He was over. But the reported date, if this fight happens between Kovalev and Canelo, is November 2nd, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's also talk of that card having Sanisa Estrada and Marlon Esparza, who are two female fighters with Golden Boy, who they've been talking about going back and forth for a while. So that's reportedly going to be on that card. So that should be a but we'll talk about that as that gets closer to that date. And then going on that card, actually. All right, I'm not pronouncing these names. You are.
Ilunga Makabu, who people will recognize from fighting Tony Bellew. 26-2, majority decision over Alexei Papin. He's 11-1. 114, 114, 115, 113 Makabu, and 115, 113 Makabu for the WBC Silver Cruiserweight. He won pretty good fight, to be honest with you. He kind of like old manned him, but was doing the old in the later rounds, you know, spitting out his gum shield to buy a few seconds. And then when he came out from the corner, he had some of the tape hanging off. So he had to go back to the corner again.
Oh, so it was all planned. Yeah, like, you know, he was doing.
Yeah, he was clever. Kind of rocked and dropped Papin, I think, in the last round, which pretty much ended up winning the fight for him.
Yeah, the last round.
So, yeah, exactly. And then the WBC is currently vacant and will be decided in the Bradis Dorticos World Boxing Super Series final, and then Makabu should.
If it happens.
Yeah, exactly, if it happens. So Makabu should really be in line for that.
So you said Makabu fought Tony Bellew before?
That was who Bellew beat for the WBC title at Goodison Park in Liverpool.
Interesting. 26-2. How old is he?
Makabu? He's older. He's in his 30s. He's in his mid to late 30s.
Oh, okay. Well, he's still got a pretty solid record there.
You know, holding the WBC means nothing. Look at Dillian White. He's been mandatory for, what, 2 years?
Well, because everybody wants to hold the franchise belt. That's the new goal here. So you got to give it up soon, Mike. So everybody's going to be coming after you. And all of our podcasting rivals are going to be coming after you.
And the good thing about being the franchise,
remember that,
is you don't have to fight a mandatory.
What? That's true. That's true. You don't have to fight a mandatory. I forgot about that. That's true.
No mandatory challenges.
It's like, what is it, like a champion, like, I don't know what they call it, but.
That's a different one. That's what Mikey Garcia has.
Yeah, that's actually it's a different title. Oh, that's a, whatever.
Canelo's Mexican. Mikey Garcia's Mexican.
Why are we going down this hole again? We always circle back to these title belts.
But just thinking about that, Canelo's Mexican. Like I see, is Mexican. The WBC is a Mexican organization.
Well, yeah.
Kind of strange.
I don't think they try to hide that. I think they know. I don't think they've ever come out and said that, but like they know people know.
Yeah, it's obvious.
So it's extremely obvious. They haven't. Speaking of that, they haven't announced who's going to get that specialty belt in Mexican Day Independence Day weekend, right?
September. Then they put it up for a vote.
Was it a vote? I don't know. Like a Twitter vote or something?
Yeah, I think they put it up for a vote.
Like they were talking about Munguia. They were talking about Fury.
Tyson Fury and the Otto Wallen
fight. Honestly, I think it'd be hilarious if it's for the Fury Wallen fight. I think it'd be hilarious. They should put it for that fight.
Have they announced what this one is?
The Mayan belt, I think.
Again?
I think is it Mayan or I don't know. It's just a specialty belt. I mean, well, they still have to pay sanctioning fees for that?
I imagine so.
Oh gosh.
Even though it's given to them?
Yeah, I thought, isn't it like a gift? Or like you're like, oh well, you still have to pay us for us giving you this gift belt.
I think you do one that lights up. Like the shoes, where you like every time shoes? you take a step, they light up. They should do
like
that.
Those shoes they wear at raves all the time and stuff like that. Oh man, if they make that belt next with like lights on them, everybody will realize where they heard that.
Oh, the middle spins,
like a WWE belt.
Yeah,
from John Cena in the mid-2000s.
Yeah, the middle spins round.
Oh man, we always come back to these stupid belts. Stupid belts. That just makes me want to like. That just makes me more intrigued about what Dana White's gonna do because he's supposed to announce something in October. Remember that Zuffa Boxing, and he says he doesn't want to work with these sanctioned bodies. So that's very intriguing. But as it gets closer, we'll talk about that. And then also this past weekend from the Burt Ogden Arena in Edinburgh, Texas, on Fox Sports 1, Brandon Figueroa, brother of Omar Figueroa, whose brother just lost. Gets the fourth round KO over Javier Chacon for the interim WBA super bantamweight title. Danny Roman has a WBA super bantamweight title, right?
Yes, sir.
And this is for the interim. So Figueroa was matched with a smaller, much older opponent on this night, and the fight wound up pretty one-sided.
It's
pretty one-sided.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, just based on it ending in the fourth.
It was like a homecoming fight, really. You
know, yeah.
Omar and Brandon both being from Texas.
Figueroa landed 96 of 297 punches, 32%. So Chacon couldn't even breathe during this fight. I mean, like you said, it was like a homecoming, you know, to get Figueroa to, you know, stay active, do his thing. And now he's got an interim belt. So does this mean he's going to get a shot at Danny Roman?
That would be an interesting fight, clash of styles there. Brandon Figueroa being more of your high pace, you know, throws a lot of punches and bunches against Danny Roman, who I would say is more methodical.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't really waste many punches.
I like Danny
and
Roman.
Goes to the body a lot. But Danny Roman's got a hard fight himself September 13th. He's defending his WBA and IBF super bantamweight titles against Murojan Akhmedov.
What?
I think I pronounced that right.
I hope you did.
But if he comes through that fight, I that would be a very intriguing fight, the Figueroa one.
I think it would. I think it would. Both Hispanics, too. Especially if you do that in L.A. And Danny Roman's got what? The WBA and the second one he's got. Is that the IBF?
IBF, yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I think Danny Roman's the best 122-pounder at the moment.
You'd also have, what is it, Pretty Boy Roman against the Heartbreaker?
I thought you were going to say Pretty Boy Floyd Mayweather. I was like, what? He's back? He's back.
A battle of the monikers.
A battle of the monikers. You might as well throw on King Gabriel Rosado and King Ryan Garcia on that card, too. I'm telling you. Hey, do you know Gabriel Rosado has a gym out here now?
A boxing gym?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, yeah, it's in LA somewhere. But I didn't know that. I saw it online. But I think he recently opened it because I haven't heard about it until recently, within the last week or two.
Because he was at the top rank show we were at, wasn't he?
Yeah. Because you know he sparred with Nate Diaz for Nate Diaz's fight?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Gabriel's out. He sparred out here in L.A. Saw that, and I was like, what the hell? So that's why Nate Diaz won.
There you go. Because
he sparred King Gabriel's out.
He's coming back.
Well, yeah. He wants another big fight.
Yeah.
He wants another big fight.
Never in a dull fight.
Rosado. Never. Never. So like I mentioned, Figueroa stays undefeated, 20-0. Now that he's got the interim WBA, it does give him some clout to get a Danny Roman fight, even though they fight on different networks. Mm-hmm. Figueroa is a PBC fighter. Danny Roman's a DAZN fighter. Matchroom Boxing. Slash Thompson Boxing. Don't forget that. Which I could see that happening maybe early next year.
I hope so. I think it'd be a good, you know, styles make fights and
out here,
they're very
right?
different. So I think it'd be a good fight.
Yeah. They're both young guys. That's exciting. That's an exciting matchup. So I hope that happens. That'd be really cool. Also, this past Saturday, hey man, there was fights all over the place. Russia, Texas, and then this one from Centro de Usos Múltiples from Hermosillo, Sonora, Mexico on DAZN.
Easy for you to say.
I was going to make you say it, but I didn't want to embarrass you. So I took it. But next time you're going to say it. So you can take the critics' opinions. Juan Francisco Estrada gets a 9th round TKO over Dwayne Beeman to retain his WBC Super Flyweight Championship. I mean, these lower weight classes are always freaking fun to watch, regardless. Of course, Estrada was a heavy favorite going into this fight, especially fighting in his hometown, in his backyard. But is it just me, or did Beeman actually get some moments in there? I mean, like, Estrada did do what he had to do, and he was obviously the more dominant one. But from what I saw, Beeman did have some decent moments. Not crazy moments, but I was like, oh, you know what? He actually got some shots in.
I thought he had some good moments, but at no point did I think Estrada looked, you know, in trouble. Bowman really kind of just showed a lot of heart, you know. Estrada, at some points, I thought in the middle rounds, kind of took a few rounds off, just kind of rested.
That's what I thought. I think that's why I'm thinking the way I do.
I think it seemed, you know, like Estrada just kind of knew he had the fight won, took a few rounds off, and wanted to really give the fans, you know, a long fight instead of just going in there and blowing him out early on, and, you know, everyone goes home. So, you know, on to bigger and better things. Hopefully Estrada, a good weight class. You know, some big fights, obviously, in the future. And I think they were talking about him fighting... who was he having a unification with? Who's the guy from Matchroom?
Estrada?
Yeah, was it Kid Galahad? Not Kid Galahad, no, he's the other one.
He's also with Matchroom?
Yeah.
He's got a title?
Yeah.
A super flyweight? Really? I'm drawing a blank right now. But I do like that DAZN is literally going all over the place for these cards. They're literally going all over the place for these cards. Like, literally. Like, their fighters are, like, Mexico, then they're in Europe, England, New York.
Calify.
That's what it was. Yeah. That's the matchup they want to make next?
He holds the WBA?
Because it's a unification fight? That'd be pretty fun. Where would that be, though?
That's a good question. You know,
see? Who's the bigger draw here?
I think they may do it over here because...
L.A.?
Yeah,
I can see L.A. I could do L.A. because you can sell it. Obviously, there's a lot of Hispanic fans, a lot of Hispanic community down here. You can put that like at the StubHub. Dignity Health Sports Park, which is your favorite arena now because of the name. You could sell that easily, especially because we've had these Superfly cards over the last couple of years, and it's a unification card, unification fight. Excuse me. So I could see that being in LA.
I think so. You know, obviously they're looking for dates for DAZN. So I think Matchroom would end up putting it over here so they can have it on a good time for the US audience.
Yeah.
So I would agree with that. I think LA.
I did like about this card, though, that because I watched a little bit of it from the beginning. You know, the good thing about DAZN is you can, boom, put it on your phone. Eddie Hearn was sitting in the front from, like, the very first fight.
By himself.
Yeah, there was nobody there. There was nobody there. I mean, like, you know, especially Mexican fans, like, especially in Mexico, like, oh yeah, they're gonna get there late, they're drinking and stuff, just like anywhere, especially California, Vegas and stuff like that. Eddie Hearn was sitting there from the beginning with a beer in his hand. He had a beer in his hand and he was watching all his fights, and I was like, hey, that's pretty telling, because even, like, you know, for the younger fighters and the smaller fighters he promotes who are, like, earlier in the card, they're probably like, all right, he's there watching. So I would appreciate that. But yeah, he was literally the only one there.
Hardest working promoter in the game.
Hardest working promoter in the game. Yeah. I'm a fan. I think he's and I hope I don't say this to my art detriment, but I think he's the best promoter in the game right now. I really do. He's doing a lot. Ever since he came to the U.S., he's doing a lot. I mean, he just signed BJ Saunders. He's got Estrada. He's got Danny Roman. He just partnered with Triple G. He's doing a ton. He's doing a ton of work. So, but who else? All right. Going up on that card also for the WBC International Heavyweight title. Man, with these alphabet titles, you think if we write a strongly worded letter to these sanctioning bodies, you think they would listen to us?
I want to cook.
If we send it certified and all that stuff.
Let's do some the last round heavyweight title.
What if we make our own title? You know, we just charge fees. You think we can do it? I think we can do it.
5% instead of the 9% WBC charge or whatever
it is. I think we can do it, you know. As long as we put our mind to it. I want a piece of that pie. Philip, how do you pronounce his last name?
Ergovic.
I'm not going to try. Gets a third round TKO over Mario Heredia. And then in the co-feature, yeah, this was a co-feature bout of the evening. What is it? How'd you say it again?
Ergovic.
Ergovic scored a fairly easy third round stoppage. 43 seconds in. This guy's huge, too. He's a giant.
He kind of looked a bit slow, I thought. Kind of reminded me of Joe Joyce a bit. Kind of just went in there.
That.
Just went in there as a giant of a man and just clubbed the guy to death.
I could see that. I mean, it was this fight was effective for him, even though it wasn't the most exciting.
No, but it's, you know, it's good just to have a few more heavyweight names around to, you know, hopefully go up there with your Ruiz, your Joshua, your Wilder, your Fury, just to give them a few more names of note.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it was because he knew he was going to beat the guys, so he just went in there and, you know, just clubbed him to death. Didn't really show many boxing skills or anything like that.
Not really.
But, you know, if he faces someone of note, like an Usyk, who's going to dance around him and pepper him with jabs, then I think he'd come unstuck. But, you know, Ergovic and someone like a Joe Joyce, a kind of a slower, robotic fight, I could see. But, you know,
have they announced anything for Usyk?
Takam was calling him out.
I know, but, like, that fight was supposed to happen. But.
Yeah, I know that I think he has a date, but I don't think he has an opponent.
Oh. Well, who could it be then?
Maybe Takam. Maybe they're just sticking back together.
Because, yeah, I feel like he needs to jump in there. Like, he's kind of losing his steam.
Yeah.
Because he had a ton of steam when he won the World Boxing Super Series tournament. He had a ton of steam.
I think he'll still do it. And I think, you know.
I think he'll still do it too. But, like, I mean, he needs to get back in there and pick up on that marketing that he had. Because, like, he had a ton, man. He defeated all these guys and he was undisputed.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Game changer for the heavyweight division of someone like him.
It is. So I'm excited to see that. And also on that card, is it Chakram? Gyasov? How do you say it?
Gyasov?
Damn it. Gyasov gets the first round knockout over Darlys Perez.
Perez who's fought everybody.
The WBA International Super Lightweight title. Hey, man, these titles just pop up everywhere, huh? Like, literally. Like, they keep making these titles gold, WBA gold.
Silver. Franchise, emeritus.
Do you think these, like, sanctioning bodies have these, like, meetings in these big-ass conference rooms, and they're just like, all right, we need some more income coming in. What kind of belt can we make? And they're just like, all right, let's brainstorm here. And they're like, oh, yeah, we can make this belt. Like, the one that JoJo Diaz has, the gold WBA title. It's pretty much saying, like, oh, okay, this is the one you need in order to be able to fight for the main one.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, what? Like, isn't that what a mandatory spot is?
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty much what it said, like.
Or an interim?
Yeah, an interim or a mandatory. Like, that. I don't know. And they still have interim, I think. Interim title. So But it's like, okay, what if a guy has a gold and the another guy is the interim? Who wins? Who gets that fight?
Anything for a slice of the pie?
Just make it a triple threat match. Who cares? That's what I would do. And then also on that card, Liam Smith. I thought he looked really good. I think he still has a lot left in the tank. I like how he fights. He's very compact. And his body work in this fight was really good. He got the 7th round TKO over Mario Alberto Lozano. And I thought it was cool that he fought in Mexico on this card, you know, being from England. I thought he looked really good. I still think he can get another world title in his future before he hangs it up.
He's still calling for a rematch with Munguia.
I think he can beat Munguia.
That's what he thinks. He said that, you know, if he had more time and he...
They're not going to give it to him anytime soon, though.
No, because he did well in that. You know, a lot of people have said, you know, that he looked pretty good against Munguia. But I think, you know, Munguia is going to take as many soft opponents as he can because he knows that, you know, when he fights somebody of note, that, you know, he'll come unstuck. You know, he really should have lost the title last time he fought.
I don't think Smith's ever going to get Munguia again because Munguia is eventually going to move up to 160.
Yeah, I believe so.
And... Yeah, I don't think he's ever gonna get Munguia again. You know, if it's anything, it's like way down the line. But you're right though. I think Golden Boy and isn't Munguia also promoted by Zamfer?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
I mean, you know, they know like, hey, you know, Smith's a good fighter. He is. Liam Smith is a good fighter. You know, like I know he lost to Munguia, but like he gave him a ton of trouble. So, you know. You as a promoter, would you want to put Munguia back in there with him?
No.
Exactly. At the end of the day, it's a business. But if Liam Smith keeps winning and keeps calling for that fight, you never know. You know, build the public opinion. He might get it. Might get another belt. Like I said, I think he will get another belt eventually. Now we're just switching to fight previews. Really? I thought there was another fight this weekend. Am I wrong? Are we missing anything? Or those were the main cards, right?
Those were the main cards.
I don't know. Why do I feel like there was something else? Was there MMA on this weekend, too?
Thompson's boxing.
Well, that was last Friday, huh? That's right. Oh, who was the main event for that? Because he had his first loss.
Saul Sanchez.
He lost, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I remembered. Yeah, he was handed his first loss. Was it a decision? Was it
a stop? He lost a decision to another Mexican fighter.
Yeah, that's why I remembered. I was like, because it was kind of significant. So, Thompson's Boxing out here is kind of like a, what would you call it, a regional promotional company in the Southern California area?
Similar to, you know, your BCB back in England or, you know, some of the local guys like Goodwin Boxing, I guess.
Yeah, So, I mean... Danny Roman's probably their most significant name at the moment that they developed, essentially.
Yeah.
So, you know, they put a lot of fights out here in the Southern California area, which is cool because they have a lot of young fighters and, you know, hopefully these young fighters fighting in these, you know, smaller venues get big and get, you know, a bunch of world titles like Danny Roman. So we'll see. This Saturday, the 31st of August from the O2 Arena from your motherland, London, UK on ESPN Plus. Vasily Lomachenko, one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world, goes up against Luke Campbell for the vacant WBC, WBA Super, WBO Lightweight World titles. You know, like I told you before we came on air, and you looked at me with the shocked face that you always look at me with, I'm leaning towards Campbell here. Am I wrong?
Yeah, you're wrong.
What? Tell me why I'm wrong.
I just think Lomachenko is just too good. I think he's just another level. You know, they call him the Matrix for a reason. I think that even though, you know, a lot of people are talking about the greater size and the strength and the punching power of Luke Campbell, that Lomachenko's that well-rounded with his 396 amateur fights that it doesn't really matter what style shows up against him. He's already seen it. He's already beaten it. And, you know, I think one of the things that's kind of interesting is that instead of training out in Oxnard, he's gone back home to the Ukraine, I believe, to train with a lot of amateurs. Because obviously, you know, himself and Luke Campbell are two, you know, gold medal amateurs that I think that he's thinking that it's going to be a lot more of an amateur style, because, you know, one of the things that Luke Campbell didn't do until he changed trainer to Shane McGuigan was really sit down on his punches. You know, he never really kind of believed, it seemed, in his own power. So I think that it's going to be more of an amateur style. Luke Campbell's going to try and, you know, box him from the outside, use his reach advantage and his size. But, you know, Vasily Lomachenko just, you know, 1 minute he's there, the next minute he's down the side of you, punching you. And
Campbell's a big kid, though.
I don't think it's something that he's not seen, though. You know, Lomachenko's that skillful, that well-rounded in his dad and him. You know, they seem to, you know, take things very, very seriously, that I don't think it matters.
I was very impressed when Campbell came over here to fight Linares for Linares' world titles over here at the Forum in L.A. Because I think we were both there, right? Were you there for that fight?
Mm-hmm.
Linares Campbell? And I think in like the first or second or third, one of the first couple rounds, Campbell was knocked down by Linares. And I think a lot of people thought, oh, okay, you know, this is kind of it. But no, he came back and he stayed in that fight. And then, like we talked about just before we came on air, like I mentioned, you said if that fight was in England and went to decision, Campbell would have got the win.
I believe so.
Right?
I think it was that close of a fight that, you know, unfortunately, that, you know what boxing is like. If you're at home, that you're probably going to get it.
Yeah.
You know, because of the crowd, maybe because of the judges, you know, your nationality or whatever. So I think that, you know, the punches that were landed, if it was back home in Hull for someone like Campbell or anywhere in the UK, that, you know, every time he landed, the crowd would have cheered. You know, and it probably could have affected the decisions.
Swayed the judges.
Exactly. So I think it was just one of those fights. I thought it was very close. And, you know, at the time, obviously, Luke Campbell had kind of kept it quiet. But, you know, his father had passed away, but he still wanted to go through with the fight.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That Linares fight, his dad had just passed away. I forgot about that.
You know, so obviously, I'm sure
that's true.
I'm sure mentally affected
him. I totally forgot about that. That's right. Yeah. And then some people were saying, like, he should have, like, pulled out of the fight. And he said, no, I wanted to do it. Like, imagine what a story that would have been if he would have won. Especially if it was like a knockout. Man, that would have been huge. He would have been all over TV in the UK because it's like a feel-good story.
I was surprised they didn't actually run that fight back. You know, a lot of people after the fight
They should have.
Said it was close.
Yeah, I think they should have. But, I mean, I think, don't you think Golden Boy and, who's his other promoter? Tekken?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think they know? Just like we talked about Munguia Smith. They're like, hey, maybe we should wait. Or maybe we shouldn't run it back.
If they ran that back in the UK, I'm sure that would have been a good payday. You know, Linares has fought in the UK several times. He has a good fan base out there.
Is this card sold out, Lomachenko Campbell?
The whole card sold out with just the announcement of Lomachenko Campbell. Even before they announced the undercard, it sold out.
Well, this honestly could be the only... Do you think this is the only time that Lomachenko is ever going to fight over there?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, he's...
Because, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people who thought, like, okay, he's not going to ever come over here. Like, Canelo, like, it's likely that he's never going to go over there. I mean, he might, but it's going to be years, you know? I mean...
If they get another big name in around the 130 to 135 division, you know, somebody breaks out, a breakout star, then Lomachenko may come back. But,
who would it... Oh, yeah.
You know, and
it would have to be like...
If somebody hits the scene around that weight, then maybe...
Is it true that Campbell is like, I don't know how exactly they described it, but they said he's like the most decorated amateur from Britain
over recent times. I think he is,
or something like that.
He has a gold post box.
What is that
in Hull decorated to him?
What is that?
Is it, would you call it out here, a mailbox?
You know, okay, that's what I thought, but yeah. I thought it was some type of slang. Sometimes he throws stuff at me, and I'm just like, sometimes I don't get it, so I had to tell him to explain it.
Yeah,
so.
How many people can say they have a gold mailbox? Not many.
Is it really a gold mailbox?
Yeah. I assume it's painted gold. I'm sure, especially in the UK, that would have been stolen if it was real.
That's true.
So,
what's going to be stolen now that you mention it?
Yeah.
Our millions and millions of listeners
are going to be searching it out.
It's over for him. But, okay, well, let's just go to predictions for this fight. What do you got?
I think Lomachenko, unanimous decision.
No stoppage. Does Campbell?
I don't see Campbell getting beat.
Does Campbell go down throughout the 12?
Maybe late he'll catch him, or maybe, you know, with his movement, he may catch him off balance.
But he doesn't get stopped.
No, I don't think so. Because I think, you know, Campbell being in the UK, being a larger firing, you know, Lomachenko's not exactly a knockout merchant. You know, a lot of time people, he just
but
breaks
he always
their
finds
spirit.
A way, though.
He just breaks their spirit more than anything. So I think, I don't see him giving up. I think unanimous decision.
Ugh.
Here we go. Danny, going 2019, the year of the underdog.
Which way should I go here? All right, forget it. I'm going Campbell. I'm doing it. I'm going Campbell. You know?
Bye.
All right, let me go this way. I think Campbell knocks him down like Linares did. Not the exact same way, but I think at least Lomachenko goes down once. I think. You know, Campbell's been sparring with Josh Taylor for this fight?
Same camp.
Yeah.
Yeah, both Shane McGuigan fighters. And he's obviously the weight above. So
yeah, he's a 140-pound world titleist.
Mm-hmm.
You think that helps? I mean, obviously it helps in terms of talent, but I mean, can you really emulate Lomachenko?
No.
You know, that's the thing. You just, like, I mean, that's great sparring, but, you know, because I saw they interviewed Taylor on Sky Sports and he said, like, I tried to emulate it, but how he said it, he was kind of like, I mean, I tried, but like, you know, like, but he's pretty much implying, like, you can't really emulate the guy. It's hard.
No, he's a one-off, and I don't think you can really, you know, emulate him. All you can do is try and do what Linares did, is, you know, is try and catch him in between the punches.
That's straight right?
To, you know, that's the only way, and, you know, Linares is the only one to really do it, because, you know, Salido really just, he didn't outbox him, he just outmanned him, you know, just pushed him around the ring, just used that weight advantage, you know, just piled pressure on him, and then refused to rematch him afterwards.
If it's a close fight, does Campbell get the home cooking?
Oh. Do you know what? Weirdly, I'm going to say no.
What?
Going to say no. I think because Lomachenko is, you know, the fans in England, they know who Lomachenko is.
Well, yeah.
The fact that it's sold out straight away before they even announced the undercard kind of tells you that people know, like you said, that Lomachenko may never come back. And maybe the judges are going to be starry-eyed, like, oh my God, it's Vasyl Lomachenko. The guy's 396-1 as an amateur. You know, he's the Matrix. And weirdly, I don't know whether the home cooking would be that way because, you know, most of the time it's hero and villain.
Yeah.
And the person coming across the ocean is a villain. He's the bad guy. And then that's why the home cooking happens. But I think it, no, I actually believe it doesn't.
All right.
You shouldn't say it was British cheat or something, is that?
All right.
That what you
I'm probably going to regret this, but I'm going Campbell by split. I threw it out there.
By split?
Split decision. I'm throwing it out there. And then they rematch, and then Lomachenko beats him. I'm doing it. I'm going out on a limb.
Get your mortgage
on that. It's the year of the underdog, Mike.
Get your mortgage on that.
2019. Concio won, Williams, Jamel Herring. Come on. Think about it.
It's
the year of the underdog.
Andy Ruiz.
There's a pattern here. I think two gold medalists.
Humberto Soto,
Brad Rios. Yeah, you're right. Which is the most significant one. All right, I'm going Campbell. So I hope I'm not wrong. If I win, man, we can retire this show today or next week because it's over. I should put money on it. With Concio twice. Also on that card, Charlie Edwards versus Julio Cesar Martinez Aguilar. Dang, what a name. For the WBC World Flyweight title. That should be fun. Like I said, these lower weight classes are always fun because they're fast. A bunch of speed in there.
I believe it's a mandatory as well, so it's not, you know, like a someone he's picked. And I think he even said that in a recent interview that, you know, if it was just a voluntary, you know, Julio Cesar Aguilar is definitely somebody he wouldn't have picked.
Right.
So, you know, you've got your usual Mexican style, come forward fighter. So that should be an entertaining fight.
Yeah. Like I said, these lower weight classes always produce solid action. And then your favorite of mine, Huey Fury, 23-2, goes up against Mr. PED, Alexander Povetkin, 34-2. Povetkin's still going, man. He's been popped, what, twice?
Of course he's still going.
He's still going.
He's full of steroids, isn't he? He's not going to retire. This guy's probably like 50.
That Povetkin, Fury, they were trying to make that fight for Vegas, right, before they got Otto Weiland?
I believe so, yeah.
I think they had said that they were trying to get Povetkin, but...
And Jamel Miller.
Yeah, but they couldn't land any of them, so they had to go with the Swedish. They had to go to Sweden and find somebody.
I think that was all talk, personally.
You think so?
They put those names into the mix to make it look like they were going for a big name and then went for a soft touch.
How does it look, though, that Wilder's probably likely going to fight Ortiz and Fury's fighting
it,
Schwartz?
You know, they had to sell him on ESPN.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
As we all know, when Fury fights in the big main event, you know, Klitschko and places like that, it literally sends the crowd to sleep. So he needs to fight guys who are he can knock out, because if you were on ESPN and he was fighting Povetkin and he hugs him and pushes him and jabs him and holds him for 12 rounds, people on ESPN would be like, hell no, I ain't paying $75 to watch this guy fight Wilder. So that's why he had to fight.
What if they want to pay $75? You never know.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, you're right. I agree with you. Also on that card, Joshua, what is it, Bautzi?
Joshua Bautzi.
Bautzi versus Ryan Ford for the WBA International Light Heavyweight title.
Joshua Bautzi, definitely up and coming, one to watch. You know, he was amateur standout for the UK, so.
What do you got?
Bautzi. Easily.
So he remains undefeated. He gets the 12th win of his career on this fight. Rounding out that card, Joe Cordina versus Gavin Gwynn for the British lightweight title. Your favorite title.
Gavin Gwynn was over here training with...
They're both undefeated, too.
With Lee Selby.
Legends?
He was over here with Lee Selby recently.
They were
training.
Just here the last couple weeks. Huh?
And I was...
We were trying to go out there.
And the time before when I went to Lee Selby, I met Gavin, and he was out here, and I got punched in the stomach by Lee Selby.
I know. Did you see that video? Yeah, he was crying. He was crying after that. It just wasn't on video, the tears. You couldn't see the tears on video, but...
Had to be kind of manly for the video.
For the video, he had to be manly, but behind the scenes, we saw it. We saw the pain in your eyes, Mike. So,
I think that's going to be a tough fight for Gavin personally. Joe Cordina is a pretty skillful fighter. He's the current, you know, British lightweight champion, sorry. I think I'm going to, unfortunately, after meeting Gavin, a nice guy, I think I'm going to have to go Cordina. I think
what?
He's just...
They're not going to invite us to Legends anymore.
Okay, so turn that back. We'll go Gavin then. I just think Cordina's more well-rounded, and I think, you know, he's eventually probably going to meet world level. I think, unfortunately, you know, Gavin is a hard puncher and solid. You know, he's had a good kind of slow upbringing the way he's come through the ranks. You know, that it would surprise me if Gavin won, put it that way.
It wouldn't or would?
It would. It would surprise me. Oh. I think Cordina's just very well-rounded.
So it's an intriguing fight, you're saying.
It is. You know, I think it's probably one of those ones on the undercard that, you know, could leap out and end up being...
Steal the show.
Fight of the night. Yeah, exactly.
I hope it is. If it doesn't, then I'm going to call you a liar. Also, this weekend from the Minneapolis Armory. Hey, this place is getting a ton of fights lately.
Weirdly,
huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very random. In Minneapolis, Minnesota, on Fox USA, former 154-pound world titleist Arizandi Lara fighting Canelo's brother. And Lara fought Canelo in like 2014, and a lot of people say he should have probably won that fight. Well, coming full circle, he's fighting his brother for the vacant WBA World Super Welterweight title.
This just goes to show you what being the brother of Canelo can do.
That's true.
Two fights ago, he lost to Brandon Rios.
Yeah,
and now he's fighting in a fight for a WBA.
For a world title. Imagine if he wins. I mean, Lara's not what he used to be, obviously, but you never know.
His last fight was against Jose Carlos Paz. Split decision.
You know Ramon Alvarez, if he wins, he would be on a Canelo card eventually. Like Canelo would be like, oh yeah, put him on my card.
Yeah.
Come on, DAZN. Help me out.
His brother will just get paydays and titles thrown at him, and you know, just being Canelo's brother is enough, isn't it? So
I pick
Lara, though.
I want to be Canelo's brother. Come on.
I think Lara will school him. If you're getting systematically beaten up by Brandon Rios, then
hey, but think
there is Sandy Lara's
but think about
to sleep.
Think about it like this. Now we're coming back year of the underdog. Look at Andrew Concio, who's a WBA regular world champion at 130 pounds. He retired for like 2 years or something. He lost to JoJo Diaz and stuff. They thought, oh, yeah, he's just kind of like a journeyman. He comes back and wins a world title. Who says that can't happen with Ramon Alvarez?
Me.
Wow.
Michael, the franchise shepherd, says wow. that. Arizona Lara beats him.
No confidence, huh? Canelo's not going to like that. He's definitely not going to listen to this episode now. Thanks a lot, Mike. We just lost a fan. Probably the most important fan that we have. But, you know, yeah, I think Lara's going to take it. And my favorite part of the show, I've been waiting for this the whole hour, from the Bendigo Stadium in Bendigo, Victoria, Australia. That's all I had to say, and people know what I'm talking about.
Everyone
That's right.
What's coming.
The Hornet is back. He's back in his worldwide comeback tour. I wanted to say worldwide. That's his backyard. Jeff Horn goes up against Michael Zarafa, who fought Kell Brook previously. And this is for, okay, and this, when I saw this, I told you, I was like, what the hell is that? For the WBA Oceania middleweight title, which is news to me. I didn't even know that title existed. So, and I'm sure there's people listening to this episode who are like, what the hell? I've never heard of that title.
Oceania is a region. It's Australasia, Malaysia, Micronesia, and Polynesia.
Oh, what? That's too many Nisias for me. I don't get it. And this is Horn's second middleweight title. I'm telling you, Horn, I think he's trying to get in that Canelo Triple G, Saunders mix. He's like, you know what? Let's do it.
Yeah, a few paydays.
Yeah. So
he did struggle, didn't he, to make the 147?
Yeah, he did. He was a big 147 pounder. And then ESPN's reporting that should Horn, the Hornet, win?
When
he wins? Excuse me. You know, I take that back. When he wins, he's gonna go up against Murata, who would then the winner of that fight would go up against Rob Brandt. So, I mean, there's a plan in place here. It's kind of intriguing, you know. I just hope that if Horn wins, he fights outside of Australia.
I think the thing is with Horn, he's going to get big fights because they can always say, you know, facing ex-world champion Jeff Horn.
Who fought Manny Pacquiao. Beat Manny Pacquiao.
Exactly. So he's going to get those big fights. I believe the Murata fight is scheduled to be in Japan. And then obviously the winner will fight Rob Brandt, who is going to exercise the rematch clause from when he lost to Murata. So
I say you give it 5 fights.
The world's hardest school teacher is back, Jeff
Horn. I say you give it 5 fights. And Jeff Horn, the Hornet, becomes the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world. Mark my words.
Remember how he was actually high, wasn't he? Like the top.
He was.
He was like top 10 on the pound-for-pound
ranking.
Yeah,
I was like, what?
After beating Manny Pacquiao, just
watch
that one fight.
Watch. He's going to move his way up the rankings. We're talking about Lomachenko, Crawford, Canelo right now. Well, be prepared to say Horn's name at the top. Number one. News and notes. Peter Quillin was slated to face Caleb Truax in a rematch on August 31st, Fox's card. But with Truax had to pull out for a torn Achilles. That doesn't sound fun. Quillin will now return on September 21st, facing a badly faded Alfredo Angulo in the FSN Fox Sports 1 main event. Angulo just always stays in there, huh? He fought Canelo. He's been in the game for a long time. So, you know, Quillin's been in there too. I mean, he's never really been the same ever since he lost to Jacobs, but.
And he's had fights fall off several times.
Yeah, he's had some bad luck after that. So,
and you're getting $750,000 to step aside from Uncle Al.
Oh, I know, right?
You don't need to fight.
Not a bad career to have. And then I really wanted to touch on, even though we're probably going to be talking about it, obviously, as time goes by. I think it's December 12th. Terrence Crawford and Teofimo Lopez are slated to be on the same card. Crawford is likely to fight Kavalauskas, defending his WBO welterweight title, and Teofimo Lopez is going up against Richard Comey for the IBF world title, 135 pounds. So I think it's kind of intriguing. I mean, I know Crawford, Kavalauskas, nobody wants to see that. But, I mean, now we go back. Is it wrong side or right side of the street for Crawford? I don't know.
Wrong side of the street.
Or according to him, there are no sides to the street, you know? But that seems like it's gonna get announced soon, and it'll likely land in New York, on ESPN. So Is that a pay-per-view or no?
I would hope not.
You never know. That's a lot of people to pay.
I would hope not.
Yeah, that's a lot of people to pay. Think about it. Yeah, see? We're going to dive into
$75?
We're gonna dive into that.
Crawford, Kowalowskis?
We'll dive into that as it goes, as time goes by, because it's likely that that makes sense at the moment that it might get made. So, but
that has less...
Save your breath for when it gets announced.
I'm just going to say that's got less, you know, momentum behind it as a pay-per-view than Errol Spence and Sean Porter, and I don't believe that should be a pay-per-view.
You got less momentum behind you.
I'm a big, heavy guy, so that's why I don't have much momentum.
But yeah, let's wrap up the show. Tell them where to follow us, Mike.
At The Last Round 12 on Twitter, At The Last Round 12 on Instagram. All the usual spots, Spotify, iTunes, all the good podcast hosts.
We're all over the place. We're all over the place. So wherever you listen to your podcast, we're likely on there. So you can't miss us. Okay, we got the cartoon logo. We had the first cartoon logo. Let's throw that out there too. But once again, thank you for listening to episode 46 of The Last Round Podcast. I'm Danny Z for my co-host Michael Shepherd. This is The Last Round.
Thanks for supporting and listening to the show. Follow us at The Last Round 12 on social media. Rate, review, and subscribe. This is The Last Round Podcast.